He was writing to a church. He was writing to a church like this church, a local, independent, fundamental New Testament church, all right? And so in writing to that church, what he said to them and what applied to them will help us. So we want you to just take a look with us there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look, if you will, at verse 15. Now, last week we skipped verse 15 and did verse 16. Now, that's not because I couldn't figure out what to say about verse 15. All right, it just worked out that week. The Bible said, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men." Very simple verse, you know. Very simple verse. I was thinking about this. Oftentimes when people talk about the Christian life, we have a tendency to speak of the difficulty of the Christian life, you know. But I believe in reality it's the simple aspects of that life that give us the greatest challenge and therefore give us the most trouble, okay? It's not thou shalt not kill. Most of you, I think, don't have problems with that verse, okay? Most of you, you know, you're not breaking that verse, all right? And so it's not those, what we sinners like to call the big things. It's the little one, all right? And the Bible often admonishes us just regarding simple, even mundane matters of life. And our text is one of those, all right? And here's the problem. I wonder sometimes if we don't simply read words and just go on without real much thought for what those words are really saying to us. It's one of those verses, it doesn't just stand out, it just doesn't jump at us, so we read it and we just kind of pass on without considering it too much. And now if confronted, we'd say, oh yeah, sure, I agree with that, yep, I know that, no problem. But when the situation arises, when that situation arises, sometimes we seem like we forget we ever heard the biblical truth, and we react in the flesh. We react in the flesh. And you might even want to say, well, come on, preacher. You know, how can these seemingly little things, could they really be that important? Well, here's what I found. If we can get the little things right, we don't have trouble with the big things. If we can just get those little things right. So I want to preach to you tonight, just out of this verse, I want to preach to you two things, forgive and follow. Forgive and follow. And I brought a visual aid with me, all right? Because that which fell out wasn't the visual aid, all right? Because, and I know the problem is you can't see that very well, okay? But I got this years ago. I've had it sitting in my office for years and years. And what it says is, I don't get mad, I just get even. I don't get mad, I just get even. You said, what in the world has that got to do with anything? See the first part of verse 15? The Bible says, see that none render evil for evil unto any man. Now, you and I wouldn't say, we wouldn't phrase it, render evil for evil. That's not what we'd say. We might say payback. We might call it vengeance, or better yet, getting even. Getting even. Hey, I don't get mad, I just get even. I just get even. You said, where'd you get that? I was given that one time, several years ago, and we're not going to go any further than that, all right? It was just given to me, you know. But we have a tendency to pay back. We have a tendency to want to get even. I mean, after all, isn't that what the person deserves? I mean, hey, they did wrong to me, and I just pay them back. I'm just going to keep things right, you know. If they do it to me, it's only right. I do the same thing back to them. You say, I don't, yeah, that's great human reasoning. And that's the way, hey, in the moment, in the circumstance, that's what we think. And if we're not careful, that's what we do. Somebody does something, somebody commits something against us. I've had people that I know accuse other Christians of keying their car. I've known of Christians accusing other Christians, telling me situation where they had a beautiful saddle, leather work, just beautiful saddle work, and somebody took a key and just scratched that up. He said, "Did it happen?" "I don't know. I don't know what happened." I've known of Christians getting mad at somebody and taking a screwdriver to their outside air conditioner, poking holes, there in it that cannot be repaired. The only way to fix it is to replace the unit. He said, why they do that? Because they render evil for evil. They render evil for evil. It's a human thing to do. And we do things like that when we get mad. Now, that's not one of the great texts in the Bible. You'd rather say, man, can't you preach on something else? Well, we need things that nail us where we are, okay? Here we are, this Sunday night crowd. We're just home folks. We just love the Lord, and we're here, and let's just get down to where we live, Sometimes the easiest thing in the world to do is to, here we go, render it back. But wait a minute. As Bible believers, we've got this problem. Because along with the admonition that given to us here, see that none render evil for evil, notice, unto any man. It doesn't matter if it's a child of God. Doesn't matter if somebody else is a Christian. It doesn't matter if they're a wicked sinner or the worst. It says you don't render evil for evil. But not only do we have that verse, but there's Romans chapter 12. Would you look over there, all right? Romans chapter 12. I'm sorry, but this verse is in the Bible too, okay? Here it is, Romans chapter 12. If you would, look down at verse 19. Dearly beloved, once again, here's the Lord using Paul. Hey, guess who he's writing to? Born-again believers in a local church. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Hey, that's what the Bible said. And that reference here, when it says it is written, it's referring back to Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 35. God says real plain and real simple, it's not our job to get even. That is not our job. That's not what God's given us to do. Well, preacher, you don't understand. No, you don't understand. Here's the Bible. Here's the Bible. It's not our job to get even. It's not our job to repay. It's not our job to repay somebody that's did wrong. Hey, we're not to reply in kind. We're not to say, well, you did it to me, I'm doing it to you. I mean, after all, I just figured you believe the golden rule, and what's, anybody did to you, you want it done to you, so I'm doing it back. Wait a minute, you're just trying to justify your own sin. Hey, the challenge for us is to say, what are we supposed to do? Well, the challenge, we got two choices, all right? I guess we got three. You can disobey and go ahead and render evil for evil if you want to, and then face God. Or you can forgive. You can just forgive and let it go. You can just forgive and let it go. Now, I'll be honest with you, forgiving and letting go is not easy. Because it goes against this old human flesh we live in. We don't like to do that. We like to be like kids at school. Well, he hit me first. Oh, well, that makes it okay then. That makes it okay. Well, they did this. Okay. Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, no problem. That makes it okay. That makes it okay. I've actually said that to kids in school over the years. And I don't think I ever convinced them that I meant it, all right? Because I didn't mean it, But that's our view. Hey, we'd give back. It's okay for us to just forgive and go on our way. Or you can, the third option, you can render good for evil. You can render good for evil. That person that's treated you wrong, hey, go do something good for them. Just go do something good for them. I mean, you say, what? Well, I don't know, anything you want to. Hey, I baked you a cake. You take it to them, they'd probably be afraid to eat it. I don't know, but, you know, just have that attitude. I'm going to not only, but you've done wrong to me, but hey, I'm not going to reply in kind. I'm not going to reply in kind. I'm going to go better than that. You know, if you want to, just forgive it, forget it, go on your way. Or decide, I'll do something for you. Hey, I'll come mowing. What are you doing? Well, I'm just mowing the grass. Well, why? Well, I just thought I'd do something good for you. Hey, you know, you've got a choice in how you react. The Bible says, hey, we're to go on. We're not to render evil for evil. Now, there's the negative part of the message. Now, let's look at the positive side. Go back there to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Somebody said, you always preach negative. Well, it's going to be positive the rest of the way, all right? Going to be positive the rest of the way. Not only does it say, hey, that none, see that none render evil for evil, but in the same admonition it says, but ever follow that which is good. Rather than get tied up trying to render evil for evil, let's do something different. Let's just spend our life following that which is good. Then the question becomes, well, what's good? And if we're not careful, we go back to the old, well, if it's good for the gander, wait a minute, you're back rendering evil for evil, all right? So let's don't go there. So how do we decide what's good? We don't have to decide. We just take what the Bible said. Take your Bible. Let's go to Psalm chapter 34, all right? 34 Psalm, if you would. I want you to get your finger right there in the 34 Psalm. And I'll be honest with you, we could turn to a ton of places in the Bible for what we're fixing to talk about for this point, all right? There's just a lot of places. But put your finger there in Psalm 34 and then go over to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. I want you to see what the Bible's got to say, all right? And let's just try doing what God says rather than doing what the old human flesh says, let's do this. No, let's do what God says, all right? Follow that which is good. You say, well, what's good? Psalm 34, drop down to verse 8, would you? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Back to 2 Chronicles chapter 5. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. I want you to look at verse 13. And the Bible says the same thing, but boy, I like the way it says it here. It came even to pass as the trumpets and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good. I'll tell you, he's good. You read that all through the Bible. God is good. The Lord is good. Over and over and over we find that statement somewhere, right? The Bible just keeps saying it. So if we're going to follow that which is good, then don't you think it'd be a good thing to follow the Lord? He's good. Just follow him. You said, how in the world do we do that? What do we do? Maybe the easiest way is take your Bible and examine the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, his character, his actions, his statements, examine his life, and then emulate what he did. Just say, I'm going to try to live that way. I'm going to try to live that way. I'm going to follow him. You know, we don't have any problem if somebody said, well, I want you to follow my example. Follow my example. You try to teach somebody to tie their shoes. I've tried to teach a ton of guys how to tie a tie. And, I've had them grab that tie, you know, and I said, all right, here's the way you do it. And throw that one over there, and okay, now you got to hold it while you do it. Pull that around and up and through, and okay, all the way under and over and down and through, and then, okay, wrap that around all the way over, and then come up under and back down through that. And now, if I told you that, you'd be going, huh? But, man, if you get them standing there, they're beside you holding tie, all right, like, here you do. You say, follow my example. Do it this way. Do it this way. It's easier to comprehend. Say, man, I'd rather just clip one on. Well, hey, that's not following the example. You know, learn to tie. Learn to do that. Follow that example. Hey, you and I, you want to do something that's good? You want to follow after, you know, follow that which is good? Then let's follow the Lord. Let's just follow him. So I'm going to do my best to emulate the example, to take what you've given me, And I'm going to do my best to just do that. Just think how your life would be, okay? Now, you can spend your life getting even. Or you can decide, I think I'll follow the Lord. I think I'll just follow Him. He didn't get even. He didn't return evil for evil. When those soldiers came to take him, Peter cut off that guy's ear. The Lord said, hey, knock it off, Peter. Lay down the sword, picks up the ear, stuck it back on the man's head, healed him, went on their way. You say, well, I can't cure somebody. Well, you could keep from cutting their ear off, though, couldn't you? All right, let's not wait till after we've done it and say, well, I'm going to try it. No, let's take care of it. Let's follow the example. Follow him. Why? Because he's good. He's good. Listen, this is a simple little thought, but this could revolutionize a marriage. We decide to follow that which is good. No, I'd rather fight. I'd just rather fight. I'd rather do that. You know, the Bible said, our Lord, the Bible admonitioned us as let each esteem other better than themselves. That's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did when he was here on this earth. He gave that example. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, hey, we're going to follow that which is good. Let's just follow the Lord. He's good. Let's just follow the Lord. He's good. And we can preach here a while, maybe all night, but I want to look at another thing. You still got your finger there in Psalms. Maybe look at the 73rd Psalm, would you? Following the Lord is good. It's a good thing to follow the Lord. We ought to follow Him. But don't you look at Psalm 73, verse 28. Now, the first, when we read this verse, you can say the same thing just talked about, preacher. Well, let's look and we'll see, all right? Notice Psalm 73. Look at the last verse in this psalm. Verse 28, but it is good for me to draw near to God. It is good for me to draw near to God. He said, preacher, that's exactly what you were just talking about. Maybe, but maybe not. If you go over to Matthew chapter 26 and verse 58, it talks about somebody following the Lord. But it's Peter. And it says in that verse, he followed afar off. Followed afar off. He was so far back, nobody realized he's following the Lord. You can follow the Lord, but some people follow him at a great, great distance. Long ways. But our Bible in James chapter 4 and verse 8 says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Hey, we ought to try to get close to him. We ought to do our best. It's good for me to draw near to God. So if you want to follow after that which is good, then follow after that and be draw near to God. It's good to be close to him. Let's get close to him. You say, how are we going to do that? Well, you can get into his presence when you get on your knees and pray. So you can be right close to him there if you want to. But I tell you one thing, if you're going to be close to him, you got a problem. You can't come with sin. Amen. We can't get real close to him when we got unconfessed sin in our life. We're over here, we're habitually practicing sin. It's going to be hard for you to be close to God. You're going to never feel like, man, you'll be able to sing that song truthfully, and he walks with me. And he talks with me. Why? Because sin separates between you and God. You can't draw near to him if you got that sin issue, all right? Now you say, well, preacher, we're all sinners. It is one thing to sin. It's another thing to habitually go into it. One thing to just keep it up, all right? Walk the aisle on Sunday morning and confess, or walk the aisle on Sunday night and confess. Go out Monday and sin that same sin you just confessed. Hey, that's not drawing near to him. The great thing about it, the Bible says if we'll draw near to him, he'll draw near to us. We can come to him in prayer, but I'll tell you this, if the Bible said in Hosea that if two walk together, they have to be agreed. So if you're going to walk with him, you can be close to him, you got to agree with him. You got to agree with him. You say, well, preacher, I agree with him. Maybe. Maybe not. Well, sometimes the way we live and what we do is a direct application of the fact that, Lord, I don't really agree with what you say. I'm not doing what you say. Now, you say, well, I'm not disobedient. I'm not out there living in sin. Good, but are you obedient? It's one thing to be obedient, but not being disobedient to something else. You know, you can not do a lot of things. And by the way, there's a lot of things I'm in favor of you not doing because the Bible says we're not supposed to do them. But we forget about those things we need to do. We need to do those. And we need to be in agreement with the Lord. Hey, I'm in agreement. Hey, I'll just give you, you say, preacher, you say this all the time. I know it. It's an easy illustration, and everybody understands it, and it hits every one of us. When the offering plate comes by, we'll give. We just give. Say, I'm going to pay my tithe. I'll put it in. Why? Because I know I'm in agreement, Lord. It's yours. I owe it to you. I'll put it in there. I'm in agreement. Totally in agreement. No problem. There it is. Every week, week after week. But preacher, I know there's all kinds of excuses. But either I'm in agreement with him or I'm not. Either I'm in agreement or not. Now, there's a multitude of examples. You said, why do you use that one? Because of how much God blesses the man that gives. Well, if we learn to give, God blesses us. And we could just go on and on all through the Bible. Are you in agreement with him? Do you act like you're in agreement? You act like you're in agreement. I mean, here you are, husband and wife. You're sitting at home. Say, we're going out to eat. Where you want to go? I remember when our two kids were still at home. We'd be going out to eat. I'd say, where y'all want to go? Invariably, somebody would say, I don't care. Somebody else said, doesn't matter to me. I suggest a place. No, not there. Oh, it does matter to you then. Hey, and the Lord comes along to us and says, need you to do that? We say, what? Hey, our problem is we're not in agreement. We're not in agreement. Now, my kids are out of the house. They're grown. They've got families of their own. So my wife and I just, we get together and we say, where do you want to go eat? She says, I'd like to go here. And I say, okay. We got out in the car. She said, which car are you going in? You go in yours, I'll go in mine. I said, why? Because I ain't going where you're going. You say, do you do that? No, but there's times I've thought about it. No, don't do that. Why? Not agreement. If there's agreement, we're together. We're together. Tell you what, I used the example. In the house of God. Preacher, I don't think I'm coming Sunday. Well, why not? Well, you know, I just think I need to stay at home. Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's amazing what we do. We're in agreement with God. God says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. So I'm in agreement with that. So where am I going to be? I won't be in church. I won't be in church. Well, I'm tired, okay? So don't move pews when you get there, all right? Just sit in one. Look, we've got every excuse under the world, but what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying draw near to God. If you want to draw near to him, you want to be where he is, right? Be where he is. He's promised he'd meet with us right here. We'd come. He said, I'll be there. Hey, what can we do? We'll follow that which is good. Well, what's good? It's good to draw near to God. Good to draw near to God. Let's go on. Romans chapter 14. All right. Romans chapter 14. Just trying to give you some things to do if you want to do. Hey, we don't want you to spend your life getting even. Okay. We don't want you to spend your life thinking, well, I got to even the score and I'm not letting them get away with that and they're not going to treat me that way. Okay. Spend your life that way if you will, but you're going to wind up unhappy and dissatisfied and unfulfilled. But you can follow that which is good and boy, it'll make a difference. So here we are, Romans chapter 14. Look down in verse 21. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything. Hey, wait. Now, don't read that and already you already quit listening. You're already thinking, oh, great, I've got to be a vegetarian. No, that's not what the Bible's saying to us, all right? Look at the whole verse, all right? The Bible says, good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak. Hey, you know what it is? It's a good thing to be a good example. And it is a good thing if you do everything you can to keep from being a stumbling block to your brother. to cause them to mess up. You say, well, who's my brother? Well, we can take you down the story of the Good Samaritan if we wanted to, all right? But I guarantee you, at least it's people in the house of God, folks that have been born again, all right? They're our brother. We need to be careful what we do that we don't offend them, that we don't think anything that would cause them to stumble, that would mess them up in any way. We need to be careful about that. Now, there's different levels of maturity in this room among God's people. There's different levels of maturity. I was looking around trying to figure out maybe who was the last person that got saved. I don't know who it is, who's been saved the least amount of time. But oftentimes, that's the weak brother. We see somebody that gets saved. Here's the problem. That new Christian that just gets saved, you know what they know of Christianity? It's what they see in you. It's what they see in me. They just take a look at us and they think that's the way you ought to do it. That's what you ought to do. And here they are. They're sitting in the same service you're sitting in. They hear the preacher preach the same words you hear him preach. And they leave out and they go out. And this next week they're down there out in the world somewhere, maybe on their job or something else. And they look and see you doing something exactly opposite to what was preached. Cause that new Christian to think, does that mean what the Bible says is not that important? Is that what it means? Hey, we cause our brother to stumble. We cause our brother to stumble. We get around maybe somebody and begin to talk about somebody else in the church, cause our brother to stumble. Cause our brother to stumble. I'm just saying to you, my friend, if you want to do what's good, the Bible said it's really good if you don't do that. If you don't cause your brother to stumble, you not be guilty of doing anything that would injure them, that weak one, to lessen their strength. We're to be careful. It's a good thing. Good thing to be a good example. To so live, people could follow you and say, all right, so live that new Christian, they could follow you in their life. They could watch you and say, well, if I do what they do, then I'll do it, all right? I'll do it. I'll just do that. Hey, a lot of people live like it doesn't matter what he does. A lot of folks live that way. They act like that, but I want you to know, because somebody else is likely watching you, it is important. As I said, the new Christian reads you more than he reads the Bible. New Christian reads you more than he does the Bible. Hey, if he's out and he hears you cursing, all right, we learn from example a lot better than we do from explanation. All right? Somebody stands up. Now listen, I think you need the Word of God preached to you. I think you need the Word of God taught to you. But we need the example too. We need that example. The old saying, you need to walk the walk as well as talk the talk. And a lot of people do the talking, but it's not walking right. You say, what are we talking about here? We're talking about not causing the weaker brother to stumble. Putting a stumbling block in front of them. To destroy what good was there, all right? To destroy that. That's the thing. You say, follow that which is good. Well, what's good? Good to be a good example. Good example. Take your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. This one I oftentimes quote to teenagers. First Corinthians chapter 7, would you look at verse 1? Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. That's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. I had a teenager tell me one time, well, it says it's good, it doesn't say it's a sin. I just flipped over in the Bible and said, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. So if we know it's good, we're to do it. And if we don't, it's sin, all right? It's a sin. You say, what is that saying to me, preacher? I'll tell you, basically, just in a nutshell, I don't think it's an unjust thing in the Word of God to tell us that this tells us it's a good thing to live a good, clean, pure life. Just live a good, clean, pure life. Now, that could kind of go with the point we just said about being a good example. Well, wait a minute. I'll be honest with you. I think the Bible teaches us it's a good thing for you and me to live a good, clean, pure life just for your own good. Just for your own good. If nobody's watching you, if there's no one that ever saw you or saw what you did, living that good, clean life pays off just for you. Just to do it. Just to do it. Just to say, hey, I'm going to be careful about that. Look, specifically, it's talking about the relationship between a man and a woman, and it's good to keep your hands off yourself. Why? Because it keeps you from getting into sin. As a matter of fact, you read the next verse, said to avoid fornication, then get married. Get married. All right, so it's obviously that application to avoid fornication. In the climate in which we live today, nothing is off the table. Everything in the world is okay. Everything in the world is okay. There's nothing in the world wrong. Hey, the truth of the matter is, I used to talk to parents about their kids and raising their kids, especially when they were teenagers and guarding things. And I would be talking to somebody, and they would be living. Here's a mom, or usually a mom, and living with a man she's not married to, got a teenage daughter. And I say, look, wait a minute. Is that what you want your child to do? Do you want them to do that? And used to universally, every one of them would say, well, no, I really don't. But that's not true anymore. Because I talk to them now, and they profess to be saved people. And they say, well, I don't think it hurt. Might keep them from having a bad marriage. Well, no, it won't. It won't do that. You see, God expects us to live a good, clean, pure life. Good, clean. Hey, if you'll do that, if you'll just set it in your life to say, hey, remember what Daniel and the three Hebrews said? They said, we're not going to defile ourselves with the king's meat. It'd be real okay for us to say, I'm just not going to defile myself. I'm just not going to defile myself. I'm going to live the life that I ought to live, okay? I'm going to live that life that I ought to live. I'm going to do it. If you do it, boy, it pays off. You can have a clean mind. You can have a clear mind. You can have a clear conscience. I just want to tell you something. You can't buy those things. You cannot buy those things. But if you'll decide, I'm going to live that pure, clean life, it'll be a good thing. That's a good thing to follow. That's a good thing. Make up your mind, say, that's what I'm going to do. Say, preacher, I've messed up. All right, but you can fix it from now on. You can't do anything to change what's back there in the past, but you can clear up from here on. You can change that thing. You can change the future. You can't change the past. But you can do what you ought to do, all right? Hey, it's a good thing. Follow after that what's good, all right? Follow that which is good. That's what we need to be doing. That's the admonishment God gives the church at Thessalonica. He said, follow that which is good. That's what we're to follow. We're to follow. Set out to do that. You say, well, I do things. Wait a minute, do we plan to do that? You see, if we're not careful and we don't plan, there's no telling what we'll do. So you got to make sure you plan your life. Plan, I'm going to follow what is good. Save one for last, all right? 1 Kings chapter 2. He said, why did you save this one for last? Well, you might argue with me and say, preacher, you're kind of stretching the Bible there a little bit. Maybe so, all right? I don't think I'm doing an injustice to the Scripture, all right? But I want you to notice here. Now, this is the story of Shimei, or the end of the story of Shimei. And if you look in 1 Kings chapter 2, look at verse 42. And the king sent and called for Shimei and said unto him, Did I not make thee to swear by the Lord, and protested unto thee, saying, know for a certain, on the day thou goest out and walkest abroad anywhither, that thou shalt surely die. Now, wait a minute. Let's stop right there, okay? Let me remind you what happened. Shimei was a guy that really mocked at David. And one of David's followers wanted to kill him right there. And David said, don't do it. But he laid down some conditions to Shimei, and he said to him, as he said here, if you walk anywhere, if you get outside of town, you leave that town, you'll surely die. And then he said this, and thou saidest unto me, the word that I have heard is good. The word that I have heard is good. Now that's a quote from Shimei. He was being quoted that you said, you told the king that what the king said to you, hey, that's good. I'm good with that. You said, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this right here. I believe if you'll follow the word, if you'll take what's been said to you, what you've heard from the word of God, the word of the king, the word of the king, all right? Hey, it comes out of King James Bible too, all right? If you'll stick with that, it surely be good for you. That would be a good thing to do. It'll benefit you. It'll make a difference in your life. You won't be the same. You'll live a different life all the way around. It'll be good for the people that live around you. It'll be the people good for the people that know you. If you just stick with that word and say, man, that's a good thing. The word that I heard is good, and I'm sticking with that word. I'm going to go after it, all right? I'm going to follow the word that I've heard because it's good. Hey, it brought good to me. Didn't it bring good to you? Man, I'm glad somebody told me that if I'd call on the Lord, he'd save my soul. That brought a good thing for me, all right? Good thing for me. I'm glad somebody told me that. I'm glad somebody taught me the truths of the Bible. After you get saved, there's things to do. There's right ways to live, all right? I'm glad. I'm glad there's something in here about marriage and how to treat your wife and how your wife treats you. I'm glad those things are good. Put them into practice. They're good things. Hey, I'm glad there's stuff in here about raising your kids. The reason we've not raised kids the way we ought to anymore is we quit doing it the Bible way. We started listening to who knows what, all right? Hey, it's good. This book's good. The word that I have heard, oh, that's good stuff. That's good. We get together in the house of God, man, and you read it, you hear it preached, you hear it taught. It's good. It's good. It's brought good to me. Hadn't it brought good to you? Man, kept me out of... I look back on my life, I see how God kept me out of so many things that I'd have gotten into, but somebody had given me the word. Somebody gave me, and I had the good sense to heed it. And I had a good dad to tell me, you better heed it, when I was at home. And by the time I got up old enough and I was on my own, I had enough sense, stick with that word. Stick with that word. Hey, the word that I've heard, it's good. It's good. Hey, follow. Follow that which is good. Now listen, here's a problem. We spend too much time trying to get even. We spend too much time trying to get even. We need to quit worrying about getting even, and we need to start worrying about following what's good. Following the good. Following the good. Now I just ask you tonight, it couldn't get any simpler than it is tonight. Simple thought, simple truth. I'm going to tell you something. Simple truth, simple thoughts will do them lead to a very uncomplicated life. Now, I've never met anybody that enjoyed a complicated life. Now, I've talked to people and they say, what's going on? Well, it's complicated. Nobody ever said, it's complicated. No, it was, well, it's complicated. They weren't happy about it. You want to live an uncomplicated life? Learn to do the simple things God says to do. Learn to do the simple things God says. You know, can I just say this to you? If somebody gives you evil, the simplest thing is don't worry about it. That's the simple. The hard thing is figuring out a way to get even. I know they did that, and I'm going to have to find a way to get even. And then you worry about getting caught while you're getting even. And I just tell you, the simplest way to live, don't worry about trying to get even. Rather than trying to get even, how about just saying, you know what, I'm going to follow what's good. I'm going to follow what's good. Going to forgive, going to retaliate. You want to follow that which is good? It's your choice. By the way, it's your life. Mess it up if you want to. Make a big mess. That's all right, preacher, mess it up. I'm coming to you to get me out. I'll try my best to help you. But look at all the good time you've missed. All the blessings you've lost. The one thing I understand more and more every day about life is it's short. It is short. And why do we want to mess up that short time we got here? We get to heaven, say, well, I'm saved and going to heaven. Good. Kind of like being, getting thrown up on shore after the shipwreck. You've lost everything you had. It went down with the ship. And here you are, scraped up, cut up, beat up, exhausted. But I made it. How much better to get to heaven and say, boy, it sure was a good trip to get here. Good trip to get here. It's your choice, all right? It's your choice. If you want to, I'll get even. Or if you want to, I'll follow what's good. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd just deal with us tonight. Deal with our hearts. Lord, help us see the truth of the Bible.